Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Morning. Awesome worship. So good. So good to sing. So good to worship. Especially on Pentecost Sunday. Absolutely. I always wake up on Pentecost Sunday with that little bit of a tingle, like, oh, wow, what could happen? Anything could happen. So get ready. You never know what might happen. We're continuing on just our journey through the Gospels, our journey through those first four books of the Bible, the ones that really unlock Jesus. Like, we get an insight into who he is, what motivated him, and what he's calling us into as well. So I'm just going to read this morning from Luke chapter 14, and it's the story of the great feast. Jesus gave this illustration. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When all was ready, he sent his servant around to notify the guests that it was time for them to come. But they all began making excuses. One said he had just bought a field and wanted to inspect it, so he asked to be excused. Another said he had just bought 5 pair of oxen and wanted to try them out. Another had just been married, and so he said he couldn't come. The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was angry and said, "Quickly, go into the streets and alleys of the city and invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind." After the servant had done this, he reported, "There is still room for more." So his master said, "Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you can find to come, so that my house will be full. For none of those that I invited first will even get the smallest amount taste of what I had prepared for them." Lord God, we just thank you this morning. We thank you that you long to open up things to us. We thank you that you long to open our eyes and show us what it is you're inviting us into, what it is that this journey with you is all about. Jesus, just pray this morning. Speak to us, each of us individually, and let us know more about you. Amen. Amen. I like that one of that story. Is one of my favorite ones to do in scripture, in SRE, because it's just this unbelievable blow their minds away about why wouldn't you go? And, you know, and then all those questions that unfold and the things that they might have. But, you know, I was reflecting on a wedding I went to recently. My niece got married in Broken Hill, and they'd been waiting due to COVID, and so it was a small wedding because they never knew, you know, what numbers were going to do. But, you know, there was a lot of deliberation over who was going to be invited. And, of course, there's always that question. It's like, am I going to be invited? Like, you know, when you hear there's a party going on or a wedding or something's happening, it's like, am I invited to that? Is that for me? Anyway, we did receive an invite, Jeff and I. But when we received it, it's like, oh, this is going to be logistically a nightmare to organise. You see, Jeff and I will have been at National Conference on the Sunshine Coast the week before, and then we have to get from there on the Thursday to Broken Hill for the Saturday preferably for the Friday, because we want to catch up with family. And as you know, there's a history of changing flights rapidly in our countries at the moment. And so I looked at this and I thought, I don't think we can do that. I just don't think we can go that far. It just felt too hard. And I also thought she'd probably prefer to invite someone else. But then I had a conversation with Samara, and she just expressed her desire for us to be there as her aunt and uncle and part of her family. And I felt really bad. I felt rebuked. I felt rebuked because I hadn't valued that invitation. That invitation had been thought over who was actually going to receive one, because I was so limited. And I hadn't valued that, and I just thought, oh, it's just going to be too jolly hard. So with the help of amazing friends and my dad, juggling kids in Bathurst and favour over the airlines, Jeff and I did all we could so that we could make sure that we made it to that wedding, so that we could celebrate with Samara and Jonty, and it would just be a day for them. And as I read through that parable, I was reminded of my attitude. It's like, it's too hard. I can't do that. But I'm glad I made the effort, because it was worth so much in memories. It was worth so much in family. And it was worth something to them. And it's not always the way things turn out. I think often invitations are not valued. Often we do just kind of go, I can't do that one. And Jesus was getting frustrated by this. He was getting increasingly frustrated by the people around him. There were crowds around him. You know, there was heaps of people following him and listening to his words. But were they actually coming into that space with him? Were they just in awe of all the, bells and whistles that were going on? Or were they stepping into that place where he was inviting them to go? I think that really he was just getting saddened so often. Because as he looked around, there weren't that many actually coming with him. And the very people who actually should have valued him and celebrated his arrival, the teachers of Israel, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, like all those people that were speaking of the Messiah coming and teaching the people about this event that was going to happen, those very people were missing the invitation. They were too caught up in their busyness, in the expectations that they had on the Messiah, the expectations they had of what he would be like. And in the middle of all that and their world, they actually completely missed the point, and they completely missed the invitation. So we come to this story in Luke chapter 14. And at the time of him telling this, Jesus is at dinner on a Sabbath in the house of a Pharisee, and he's just been observing the people, and they're just jostling for place of importance. They're wanting to bag their seat at the table. They want to sit in the right spot to be recognized, to be seen by the right people. And all this is going on around Jesus, and he's just sitting there watching it. And he makes comments about, what the kingdom of God actually really is like. That it's not this jostling for position, but it's actually a place where you serve. It's a place where you give and you love. And so he'd just been speaking of that, and the guy next to him, he says, wow, that'd be such a cool place to be, the kingdom of heaven. I'd really, really love to, have a part of that. And then Jesus brings in this parable to him and speaks into that place of where he's got a different picture of something. And then Jesus throws this in. You know, this image behind me, like, how good does that look? How good does that look? Doesn't it, don't you want to just kind of jump in there and enjoy that feast? Isn't that something that you would love to just be invited to and be a part of? It's a privilege to be invited into the kingdom. It's a privilege to be invited to that feast that is set up for us at the end. And Jesus knew that those invitations, that they'd been sent out. Like, they'd already been sent out. They were sent out when the Jews, the Israelites, were invited to become part of God's family, to be the ones that were going to be the message bringers and to bring, you know, this story, this invitation to the world. And Jesus knew that those invitations had been sent out. But he also knew that they weren't necessarily taking them up at the moment. Did they really understand what this feast was going to be about? Like, what would the feast of God be like? Like, what would it really be like? We have communion often, and it's quite stripped back, and it's quite bare. And I kind of thought we'd shake up our communion table a little bit, because I wanted to start imagining what really would a feast that God puts on be like. Like, I imagine just tables just laden down, just laden with the best produce and just fresh and delicious and beautifully crafted, maybe like those amazing Thai vegetables that get carved. That there'd be lavish goblets of wine just ready to be poured out, that it'd be abundant, that it'd be overflowing. And the parable speaks about when these invitations were sent out and the feast was ready and the tables were laid and everyone, you know, was expected to turn up. Nobody came. Nobody walked in the door. And instead the excuses started flowing. You know, I can imagine that at this point, Jesus is just really sad telling in this story. He's really sad because he knows that this is what's going on. This is what is happening. The feast was designed to be filled with people. It was designed to have laughing and singing and celebration and voices and music and just, you know, the whole banquet table laid out. It was meant to be a celebration of all that had been promised being fulfilled. That finally, that after thousands of years of this Messiah being spoken about, that it was being fulfilled and that people were invited to come in. But they didn't. Instead, what was intended as an honor that those invitations were given and as a blessing that they were part of it was ignored and devalued. So the guests in the parable, they just, other stuff just got in the way. Like boring stuff. I bought a field. I bought some oxen. Okay, the getting married's not so boring, but, you know, what's that in our mind? Do we get caught up in the property that's going, you know, our property? Do we get caught up in our finances? Do we get caught up in our life stage? Like, what is it for us? What are the things that are stopping us? You know, I know that I'm guilty of this. And, of course, my guilt had to be really obvious today when the person in this story is here. You know, I was invited to a first birthday party a couple of months ago. And it was such an honor to be invited, to know that I had a part to play in this little girl's life. But you know what happened to my afternoon? It got caught up with washing and cooking and getting ready for the week. And when the time came for the party, I just forgot. How is it that something so precious, there's something so, you know, once in a lifetime that happens, you turn one once. How is it that, you know, the privilege of being invited to that could just fall by the wayside? And so then I have to question, do I do that with God too? Is that something that I'm guilty of? Are there invitations that God gives out to me on a daily basis that I just don't value them? I ignore them. Jesus is showing us in this parable just how valuable God's invitations are. Not just the invitation to join in the feast at the end of the world, but his invitations every day. Like, have I ignored them sometimes? Ignored that chance, that opportunity to sit quietly and just be in his presence? Like, what an invitation to sit in the presence of God. Like, God, the creator of the earth, universe. Or has something else been too important? Have I, you know, ignored an opportunity to come to church or come to prayer and be with his family, to be part of the people and to be in that space together? Have I just kind of decided that there's too much in my week and I'm not going to be able to manage all of that? I know I've done that sometimes. I was thinking this morning, you know, there's an invitation. When we think of Pentecost, there's an invitation to have that infilling of his Holy Spirit, to have the very presence of God alive and active in us. You know, when we commit our life to him, when we're saved, we know that the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us. But there's something else about Pentecost that it tells us about the Holy Spirit. There's this awakening, there's this element of being completely alive and active and full of power. Do we take that invitation? Do we accept it? Or is that too scary? Is that too scary to be full of power in God and think of the possibilities that might happen? Cool thing is that, you know, this is so not the end of the story. That even though these invitations have been sent out and even though people rejected them, it's just not the end of the story. The feast is there to be enjoyed. You know, God wants people in his feast. God wants people in his kingdom. God wants people in his work in the world. He wants as many people as possible. And so, you know, the invitation was just open up to everyone. He said, go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, in verse 21. After the servant had done this, he reported, there is still room for more. So his master said, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so the house will be full. That's who's invited. Everyone is invited. There's no longer do we need to be part of the Israelite family. No longer are we just the select few that God wanted to use to bring his message into the world. It doesn't matter what our background is. It doesn't matter what our status is, our situation. Everyone is invited. Everyone is invited to the feast. Everyone is invited to be a part of it. Everyone is invited to listen and to believe in Jesus. That's what Jesus was talking about. Everyone's invited to put aside their distractions, to put aside their own agendas. Everyone's invited to recognize the value of this invitation that is being handed out to us. The invitation is to do life with Jesus. That's the invitation we have. That he says, come and do life with me. You know, we see him calling disciples to follow me. Come and follow me. That's what the invitation to the feast sounds like. To follow his way. To follow what his heart is in our world. To follow what his heart is for us as individuals, for us as a collective. And from this parable today, it shows me that I need to value whatever it is that Jesus is inviting me into. To value it highly. To get on board with his way of doing life and to learn from him. And I love the fact that his way of life, that his kingdom is a feast. Like so often, the perception is that, oh, if I follow Jesus, then I have to lose this and I have to lose this and I can't do this and I can't do this. And we think of it in this restrictive way. But no, the life of Jesus and following Jesus is a life of fullness, a life of fun, a life of abundance. It is a life that takes us into places that we didn't think were possible, that given our own strength, we would not be going there. But the life of following Jesus is a life that is rich. And this morning, you know, Jesus also invites us into another meal. It's not a meal of celebration. It's a meal of remembrance. And that's communion. And this morning, our helpers, they're going to be just serving from the back and working their way forward. Just grab hold of your bread and your juice. You know, I think sometimes we need to think of communion sometimes as something a little bit different. That we don't just imagine the barrenness of it, the stripped back nature of it. We just see this little cup of juice and a little bit of bread. Because this meal is no less extravagant. Because this meal, we remember what the cost of our freedom was. This meal, we remember what the cost of that invitation to us actually was. This meal shows the extravagance of what Jesus did for us. Because it cost Jesus his life, his body and his blood to be able to extend the invitation to us, to take it further and to open it up. This meal is extravagant. And he did that for you and for me because he wanted us all to come to his feast. He wanted to make a way for that to be absolutely possible. So this morning, as we share in this communion, I'll grab mine. I really, really want us to remember the price that Jesus paid and think about his invitation. Think about the invitation that he extends to the greatest feast that ever will be. But also think about what that invitation is in the day-to-day. You know, it may be that you have never accepted the invitation to do life with Jesus before. That's okay. Grab some bread and some juice because you can start that today. It may be that you have, you know, you've said, yeah, I want to go on board. I want to follow Jesus. But you're not quite sure if every invitation is being taken up. Because as we accept one, there's other little ones along the way. You know, can you do this? Can you talk to this person? Can you come here today? Can you give this? Can you talk to me? Can you spend time with me? There's lots of little invitations that make up our walk with Him. And as we just enjoy this today, together, I want to ask you to think, is there anything I need to change to show that I value, and accept His invitation to walk with Him, to follow Him? And the multiple invitations that go along the way that He gives me to do life with Him. Jesus got the feast ready. He's up there. We sang earlier that He prepares the table for us. It's there, it's ready. God, I want to accept Your invitation. I ask You to come and show me how to do life. Sorry when distractions take over. Make me Your child. Help me to follow You. Thank You, God, for a place at Your table.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.